Luke chapter 19, verse number 11, the parable of the minas. If I came to you this afternoon and said, if you give me $100, next year I'll come back and I'll give you $1,000 plus your $100 you gave me, how many of you would be interested? That's growing 10 times. That's amazing. Grow your impact 10 times. Why? Because you can. You can do 10 times more? Yes. You notice it's not Jesus saying, tell me what you did. He doesn't care what you do. Just keep it legal. He wants to know how much. What are the results? Let's keep going with the story. So what's the difference if a person does or does not produce a lot for Christ into life? We'll take a look at what he says. Verse number 17. And Jesus said to him, well done. Why? You grow something 10 times? That's a well done. Good servant. Why is he a good servant? Because he did exactly what the master wanted. You, do business any way you want. And he grew it 10 times. And here's the part that's shocking. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Do you see the connection? What you do in this lifetime, before Christ comes back again, wait till we get into this tonight, affects everything that happens to you in heaven or the second coming when the kingdom begins on earth. And Jesus linked it. You took one and made 10. Therefore, that growth is how many cities I'm going to let you reign for me in eternity. Do you realize then what takes place here? Life is a testing ground in which Jesus is giving you everything he gave to everyone else. At the same time, a number of talents and a certain amount of money. And he says, I want you to multiply it as much as you can. And if you multiply your life and the results of your life are 10 times, there is a 10 times consequence to you on the other side. I was trying to explain this to our children when they were younger, and I drew on a piece of paper a green line. I thought this many years ago. And I said, this line represents eternity going in both directions. Only God is the green line. And somewhere on this green light is a little tiny purple dot that I drew. And I said, that's our life. On the space of eternity, it goes this quick. It's there and it's gone. Sound like my father now. You know, you just, it's over. It's quick. It's not over, but it's quick. And I said to them, that one line determines everything in your eternity. And I drew a purple line that went on forever. And I said to the kids, we're not eternal, but we are immortal. We don't go on forever this way, but we live forever that way. We have no end. We may die on this earth, but all we do is move. It's forever. And I said to them, do you realize? I put an X here. That little dot determines where you go when you die. It's what you do in that lifetime of mine and yours, and it has to do what I believe. If I believe and put my faith in Jesus who died for my sins and rose again, then God opens the door of heaven, and where I go determines by what I believe somebody else did. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I put my faith in him. My faith opens the door, and I enter into heaven. But heaven is a whole other issue. Just like there's one earth. But isn't there a big difference on earth? The third heaven where God dwells is one place, but it's very different. and the kingdom when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the earth. And what Jesus is revealing is there's another thing on your purple dot. It is your behavior. Is what do you do for me? If you do little for me, that proves to me that I am not going to trust you to do something significant afterwards. There's a connection that somehow there's this big divorce that once I believe in Jesus, there are no consequences to how I really live my life. And Jesus is saying it's a huge consequence. What you do here determines what happens to what he can do for you on the other side. Well, take a look at the next verse. Is what changed my life is the next two verses. Likewise, he said to him, the next one, second one came saying, Master, your mina has earned five minas. Likewise, he said to him, well done. No, he didn't. Good servant. No, he didn't. And you can rule over 10 cities. No, he didn't. And I remember at 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord opening my eyes to this passage, and I said to him, you know, why is it that this guy didn't hear the well done, and why didn't he get the good servant, and why didn't he get 10 cities? And the answer was very simple. He could have had 10. Every one of my 10 servants in this parable could have had 10. This isn't according to your ability. We're all the same in this parable. And I sat back and said to myself, am I a 10 mina person? And said, I'm not. This was many years ago. And I remember getting down next to my chair that evening, 2 o'clock in the morning, and just repented that I wasn't a 10 mina man, because it never hit me before that God wanted 10 minas from me. From me he did. And the only way there's going to be 10 minas is if I get them for him. And I was thinking that night about John chapter 15, where it says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's that same idea, the quantity. And so I remember the next morning sharing with my wife that I found out that I wasn't a 10 mina person. And I asked her to forgive me for that as a header of our house. And then the next morning, I called a special meeting at Walk Through the Bible of all the team members, and I told them about this and apologized to them and said, even though we're ministering all over the country and some of the places in the world, yet we're not a 10 mina ministry. And starting today, we're going to learn how to do that. That issue of repentance, of not really knowing how to do it, initially anyway, but being committed to become a 10 mina person. It's when you take your talents and actually say, I'm going to use it to multiply more for the kingdom. I remember we were down at the Hilton Head. Our family was on vacation. And we decided to go to a little church right there where we were staying in a condo for the week. And it was about 200 people, and we sat in the back, and it was great just to be anonymous and just enjoy a service. And afterwards, we were coming out and shaking hands with the pastor, and the pastor says, don't I know you? I said, no, you sure don't. No, this is the first time I've ever come here. Nah, you look familiar. I said, a lot of people think that. I don't know why they think that. Did you write a book? And I said, well, yeah. Did you write the Prayer of Jabez? Oh, I did. Oh, that changed my life. And he began to talk, and I said, man, it's terrific. Your church is a buzz. He said, well, it didn't used to be. It didn't used to be. He said, no, we doubled recently. You doubled. You went from 200 to 400. Yep. He said, would you like to know how? I wanted to know how. He said, one morning I was standing at the door just like this, shaking hands with my parishioners as they're leaving, and one of the guys came who's a senior VP of marketing for a national firm. And he said, I wasn't even thinking this. I just said it out loud. And he said, I said to my friend, you're going to have to answer for Christ for this. And the man said, I'm going to have to answer to Christ for what? Because you could have used your skill that you have in the marketplace to help us. What are you talking about? Could you double the church? Could I double the church? You mean from 200 to 400? Yes, of course. That's a little thing to do. That's only 200 more customers. He said, I wouldn't do this. A VP wouldn't do this. A director wouldn't do this. I would use a brand new hire to do this. This is only 200 more people, for Pete's sakes. And the pastor said, can you do it in the next 30 days? And the man said, well, sure, of course. And he said, that's exactly what he did. He doubled the church. Somehow we don't take the gifts that we have here, bring them over to what can we do for... He didn't have to leave his job. He didn't have to leave his job. He had to bring the expertise here into the kingdom. Could you... Some of you are really good in social media. You know, who type in the things with two thumbs. You know, if a bunch of you, 15 to about 30-year-olds, got together and just used social media, you could double the church in a week. Yeah, you could. Don't tell me you couldn't. Of course you could. It's this issue of understanding the significance of what you do with your life. When Jesus said, here's what I want. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because when your life is over, everything that happens to you enter into heaven. It's dependent upon whether you sought my kingdom or you didn't. I remember coming out of seminary and talking to my classmates and asking them what they want to do. And so many of them said, I want a nice small church, about 150 people. And I want to preach the word faithfully for the next 20 years and study it in depth. Isn't it interesting, the definition of faithful from Jesus' point of view isn't what it was when we came out of seminary. Take a look at his passage there. Verse 17, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over. What does it mean, Jesus, to be faithful? It means this. I commanded you, do business for my kingdom with everything in you until I come back. Being faithful means that's what you did. You took one and you made 10 times more from your life. That's what faithfulness is. It doesn't mean you do the same thing for 39 years. This is what happens after 39 years and the issue that came before us and what's taking place across the street and what's taking place with the unwed mothers and what's taking place in the Bible college down the street and what's taking place with the schools. That's productivity. Yeah, but my question is, what about you? Yeah, but what about you? What are you actually doing with you? And there's this great big wall that goes up in our minds because we can't really put it together that you can do whatever you choose to do. If you ask yourself the right question, what does God want done?